What is quite remarkable is that Gretz takes these two individuals, forgets the fact that they converted to Christianity, and makes them quintessentially Jewish, and presents an entire chapter in Book 11 in which he promotes their ideas, which are basically liberal ideas, as being at the heart and soul of what German culture is all about. What arrogance from the perspective of von Treitschke. What nerve for this individual to take people who are essentially Christians in the first place, to make them Jewish again, to reintroduce them to the Jewish community and to use them as foils for presenting them. They present the morality. They present the beauty. They present the spirit. Indeed, this work is about the Jewish contribution to Western civilization. But from the perspective of von Treitschke, it rubbed him in the wrong way, because it created the opportunity for a Jew to somehow preach to his Christian co-religionists. This, together with the negative associations that Gretz had presented us in the context of pogroms, atrocities, hostilities towards Jews, was too much to bear. And thus, this public utterance, which goes on in several other pieces, and Gretz, of course, responds, ends up in creating the great calamity which closes the end of Gretz's life. Gretz, indeed, is not only seeing a vindictive and very strong-minded historian attack him, he is seeing the change of a cultural world, of a cultural milieu. Remember that the first decades of the 19th century, the world that we had just captured in the case of the Verein, were times of great opportunity, of great promise, of great hope. Things were changing. Jews were being emancipated. Jews were entering into the social world of Christian Germany. By the end of the 19th century, as we will hear about later in our lectures, with the rise of anti-Semitism, with a new reaction setting in, with political parties that had clearly anti-Semitic lines, with a Germany that was moving away from all of the rights and privileges it had originally offered Jews, and ultimately, of course, would lead to the horrible anti-Semitism of the 20th century, clearly Gretz was seeing a retreat, was seeing the openness now closing before him, the possibilities now being shattered as time went on. And therefore, this remarkable debate is not only a debate about history, it is a debate about how one sees Jews and Judaism within the context of contemporary Germany and contemporary Western civilization. Let us then talk about the other aspect a little bit more with respect to Gretz, that is his bias towards intellectual history and the rational kind of thinker that he was. As I said already, his history is not a social and political and cultural history in the sense that we use the word cultural history. It is primarily a narrow history of rabbinic intellectuals and their writings. And like Leopold Suntz, and clearly they should be seen together because in many respects they shared a common understanding of the Jewish past, Gretz hoped to reveal the moral and literary worth of the Jewish intellectual tradition to an illiterate and an indifferent Jewish and Christian readership. What is quite clear now is that when you write a work in German, you're not only writing for Christians, you're writing also for Jews, because by the 19th century, most German Jews could not read Hebrew. Hebrew was an elitist language, a language which only intellectuals wrote in for themselves. So basically, writing in German was a way of educating humanity. We have already seen that in the case of Mendelssohn, who wrote his commentary, his translation of the Bible, and his commentary in German in order to educate primarily German Jews. So clearly, Gretz has in mind, and we should emphasize this clearly, not only the attempt to polemicize with Christians and to set the record straight, but also to give Jews a sense of their own self-worth, a sense of their own dignity, a sense of who they are and why, indeed, they should know their historical past. Like an array of other thinkers, he was a lover of Moses Maimonides, of rational Jews, of philosophers. Spinoza is not his favorite, and of course he discards Spinoza entirely, as we would expect him to. But the embodiment of the Jewish rational tradition and the author of this great legal code for him represents the highest ideal of what a Jew is. Notice how different this is than Spinoza, and even to a certain extent different from Mendelssohn. in the sense that a Jew can commit himself to